Thank you, Stephen, for the words of welcome and for the opportunity to come along this evening and to share with you once again a little of the work of Let the Bible Speak. Now, let me thank you first of all for coming to the meeting. It is good to see a congregation of people these days. It is always encouraging to see a congregation of people gathered under the sound of God's Word. And so I thank you for coming along tonight and by your attendance here, even by showing your interest in the work of Let the Bible Speak. And could I also, on behalf of Let the Bible Speak, thank all who have supported this ministry, both in a practical way and in a prayerful way over the past year and years. God has continued to bless this work. He's continued to take it forward and use it for His glory. And souls have been saved right across the world. And there have been very many encouraging reports coming back in regard to this particular ministry. Of course, Let the Bible Speak is the most far-reaching ministry that is connected to our denomination. I often say that, but that is so true. It is a ministry that has the potential to reach millions of people right across the world. And so in praying for this work, in supporting this work, you are supporting a global ministry, a ministry that is really reaching the multitudes. And let me encourage you to continue to pray, continue to support this work in whatever way you can, and that the Word of God would go forth with power and many would be saved as we seek to reach people through the means of the radio and the television. Now, God willing, a little later there will be a video presentation. We were having difficulties earlier on. I brought a DVD, and that is ancient in regard to cold rain things. A DVD is a very old thing now here. You've moved on from that stage. In Garver, we're still with cassettes. We're still a wee bit backward. So it just didn't work in. But I think our brother has got a video presentation for us. It's not an up-to-date one. It will be one that is a bit older, but it's still bringing before us the work of Let the Bible Speak, and it will present really the nature of the work. It might not just be up to date. You might be seeing things that you know that are out of date, but it's really just bringing the work before you, and I trust that video presentation will be a blessing later on. But could I just, before we come to God's Word, mention a number of things, a number of prayer requests, and I trust that you will take these things upon your heart and that you will pray for Let the Bible Speak in regard to these matters. First of all, I would encourage you to pray for the preaching of the word. Of course, Let the Bible Speak is a preaching ministry. It is a preaching ministry over the radio and over the television. And this is the very heart of the ministry. And so let me encourage you to pray for those who preach. Pray for those who open up the scriptures and handle God's word, that God will give them skill, God will give them ability, even to break the bread of life in that simple way, in that clear way, and that as the word of God is preached, God would use the preached word. So pray for the preaching of the word. Pray for a reaping of souls in these days, that the word of God as it is preached, many would be challenged as they're confronted with the truth in regard to their state as sinners, and as they're confronted with the truth in regard to Jesus Christ, that there would be a great ingathering. It is good to have a radio and television ministry, and it is a very encouraging thing. But we do not just merely want to have this ministry, we want to see it being effective in building Christ's kingdom and bringing many onto faith in Jesus Christ. And as I've already mentioned, many have been saved through this ministry. Churches have been established in different parts of the world as God has blessed it. But continue to pray that as the word of God is preached to the multitudes, that many would be reached and many souls would be brought to Jesus Christ. Pray also for those involved in the day-to-day running of LTBS. The Reverend Curran, who heads up this work, and also the LTBS committee. Pray that God will give them wisdom and understanding as they seek to take this work forward and as they seek to lead it and to guide it. And there's many decisions to be made and many things to be got right. And so pray for these men, especially the Reverend Curran, as he heads up the day-to-day running of this ministry. Pray for the practical aspects of LTBS, the continual costs. And it is a substantial cost every year. The money has to come in every year. And so could I just remind you of that and just remember this work in regard to the financial need, and pray that God will meet that need. Over 100,000 has to be raised every year just for broadcasts alone. And so do remember that practical aspect of the work. There is the shop, of course, in Banbridge. Do remember that God would use that as a means of not only raising funds, but also as a means of bringing the gospel to the people there in Banbridge. And if you have any stuff that you do not need, any pre-loved items in your house, then you can use that. Like the believers in the book of Acts did, they took their stuff they didn't need, they sold it, and they used it for the furtherance of Christ's kingdom. And this is what you could do now with your stuff. You can donate it to Let the Bible Speak. And the stuff that you do not need, and perhaps there's stuff maybe that's very good and you do need it, but you feel burdened to give it to Let the Bible Speak. But we will not refuse that either. We'll take that as well. And you can use your stuff that you do not no longer need for the furtherance of Christ's kingdom as well. And pray for those that are involved in the producing of the programs in regard to the technical end of things, that God will give them help and guidance. A problem that has arose over this past year is getting people to actually sit in the congregation to produce programs there in Lurgan. And so if you can help in this way, then do get in contact with Let the Bible Speak. If you could come just to sit in the meetings, of course, we're living in different times at the moment, but God willing, these things will pass and all of these restrictions will pass. And we'll be back to producing programs there in Lurgan. There will be a congregation. But if you could help out in any way in regard to being a member of that congregation when we're back, then that would be very much appreciated. And so pray for all of these matters, preaching of the word, the reaping of souls, those that are involved in the work, and even for the financial, practical aspect of it. But most of all, pray that Christ, the great King and Head of the Church, would be glorified in all that is said and done. And that his kingdom would be greatly extended. This is what we want. This is why we labor. This is why we preach. That glory might be brought to Jesus Christ. He is the great King and Head of the Church. The one who said, I will build my church. And so do remember these matters in prayer. And continue to remember, Let the Bible Speak. Now we're going to turn briefly in God's word to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. It is a well-known psalm. We'll read here from verse 1. Psalm 126, commencing to read at verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. May God bless the public reading of his truth. It is widely believed that the penman of Psalm 126 was the prophet Ezra, and that he wrote these words on his return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. Certainly, if it was not Ezra himself who penned this psalm, it was someone who returned to Jerusalem with him and had gone through the same wonderful experience. In verse 1, we are immediately brought to see that God had wrought a marvelous deliverance for his people. It says in verse 1, then the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. We were like them that dream. The speaker here is testifying of how God had so worked on their behalf. God had so delivered them from their captivity that it was just like a dream. In other words, they could not take in or comprehend what had happened. Their captivity had suddenly been broken, and God had brought them back again to Jerusalem. These surreal events were the things they dreamed of. They dreamed about these things in the land of captivity in Babylon. But now God had made them a reality. Indeed, so marvelous and wonderful were the happenings these people experienced. We learn in verse 2 that even the ungodly acknowledged God had done great things for them. See what it says in verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. And so the heathen stood in awe at God's mighty works, at how God had delivered his people, of how God had restored his people again to the land of Israel, bringing his people once again to Zion. Yet what we really have described in this psalm is what happens when God works graciously amongst his people in revival blessing. And really this is what is brought before us in this psalm. This is the spiritual truth that is brought before us in these words. What happens when God graciously works amongst his people in revival blessing? This is what Psalm 126 brings before us. This is what is in view. God's gracious work of revival. In verse 1, we learn of the deliverance of revival. It happens when the Lord turns the situation around. says here, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. And this is what revival is. It is the work of God. It's not the work of man. It's not an activity organized and planned by man. It is a divine work. It is that which God himself works in amongst his people, and amongst the church, and even in a society. The Lord turns a nation onto himself. The Lord turns a people from captivity, the captivity of sin, onto himself. And so we see here the deliverance of revival in verse 1. In verse 2, we have the delight of revival. It will lead to great rejoicing. Then was her mouth filled with laughter, and her tongue with singing. Here were a people filled with praise, with joy, with delight, for all that God had done for them. Then, at the end of verse 2 and verse 3, we have the declaration of revival. There will be an acknowledgement of the greatness and glory of God. The Lord hath done great things for them, the heathen say. And then verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Here we have the declaration of revival. People turn and acknowledge God. They acknowledge his glory and his power and his majesty. And verse 4, we have the desire of revival, that God's salvation would be extended to others. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And here are people who have experienced something of God's grace, something of restoration in their lives. And what is their prayer? Lord, what you've done for us, extend that to others. And you see, this is the desire when revival comes, that it will spread and that it will continue to go forward. And then in verses 5 and 6, we have the duty in revival. We are to continue to labor and work, even through many difficulties, that we might know future times of blessing and increase. This is what we need to be praying much for in these days. This is what we need to be drawing near to God in regard to. That God would move suddenly and supernaturally in our own lives and in his work. Even to the extent that we might be able to say, we were like them that dream. We were like them that dream. Is not this what the church is so desperately in need of in these days? For a breath of heaven? That God will turn us again onto himself. However, this evening as we come to this passage of God's word, the words I want us to focus our thoughts upon are those found in verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now this verse of Scripture is one that is well known. Indeed, it is one that has been often used, and rightly so, to emphasize the importance of evangelism and of seeking to reach the lost with the gospel. This, of course, is what the ministry of LTBS is all about. It is involved in the great worldwide mission of seeking to reach lost and perishing souls, and that the life-changing message of Jesus Christ might have an impact upon the hearts and lives of many. This is what Let the Bible Speak exists to do, to spread the message of Jesus Christ and of his salvation. This then is why I want us to consider this particular verse of Scripture this evening, thinking about the ongoing missionary work in regard to our radio and television ministry. I want us to think of these words and how they are so relevant as we think about this particular work. There are three things about evangelism and about taking the truth of the gospel to the perishing world that I want us to think about here in this verse of Scripture. And the first thing I want us to note is the commitment of the sower. The commitment of the sower. See again the opening words of verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. The person who is in view in these words is the sower. We read of a man going forth and he's bearing precious seed. In other words, he's going out into the field and he's going to sow this precious seed in the earth. And this is the picture, this is the scene that is set before us here of a sower, a man with seed, bearing seed, carrying seed, and he goes out into his field and he scatters that seed as he walks along through his field. However, as we think of what is said here of this sower, we learn that he sows his seed with great commitment and dedication. He sows his seed very diligently. He is a man determined to sow this seed. And we see his commitment and determination to sow this precious seed in two ways. We witness the sower's commitment to sow the seed from his work, the work that he does. In the opening words of verse 6, it says, "He that goeth forth." He that goeth forth. Now the thought and idea here is of someone going out to labor. Someone going out to work. This person is not idle, but they're going forth. All they are about here is labor and toil and work. They're endeavoring to get the seed into the field. And they're sowing with great diligence and commitment. In fact, this phrase, goeth forth, carries with it the thought of urgency and of speed. And really, that's the thought here. Here's a man, an individual, and he's busied in this work. He's up and he's doing. And it's really a scene of action, a scene of intensity, a scene of movement. He's going forth and he's sowing. Of course, we think of the physical crop that is sown in the field. There is need for urgency. The seed needs to be planted in spring if there's going to be a harvest time. And springtime is a busy time. Busy time, getting the ground ready, getting the seed into the ground that it might germinate and start to grow. And so there's that sense of urgency in regard to the physical crop. The husbandman, the farmer, must go forth and he must get on with the task. Therefore, we witness the commitment of the sower in this verse from his going forth, from his getting on with the work. Now, when it comes to sowing the seed of truth, the seed of the gospel, this is very much the need to go forth, to be engaged in the work. Indeed, this is the great work which Christ has given to his people. Remember what the Savior said to his disciples before he returned to heaven, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And here there is that thought there of endeavor, of activity. Go ye. He was sending them forth, sending them out to get on with the work and to endeavor in the work. The early New Testament church clearly understood what the Lord was saying to them. They understood this was their task, for this is what we read in Acts 8 and 4. They went everywhere preaching the word. And again, there's the thought there of endeavor, of diligence, of effort, of labor, of going forth. Here were people, this was the early New Testament church. They were characterized by this. They went everywhere, they went forth as sowers in the field of this world. The Christian's task is to be a committed sower and go forth where they can and sow the good seed of gospel truth. This is the role that we have in our own homes as believers, those in our families, those that we know are friends. We are to sow the good seed amongst them, in our workplace, in our community. We are to continually be going forth like the sower here spoken of in this verse of Scripture. And of course, there's an urgency. Oh, how urgent it is that we continually go forth and sow the good seed. In recent times, we have seen the great urgency, the great concern, the great upheaval there's been in regard to the physical well-being of our nation and people. And all of the effort and all of the things that have been put into place. And there's been great concern and great urgency. And yet we as believers know that physically we're only here for a very short period of time. And then beyond this life there is eternity, the great eternity. And multitudes are just walking on towards eternity as lost souls, perishing souls. Is there not an urgency to be sowing the good seed, to go forth? We're meeting people every day who are heading for a lost eternity without hope and without Christ. We must be engaged in this work. Let the Bible Speak is an organization that exists to sow precious seed. That's why it exists, to sow this seed. It is a ministry that works to plant the truth of God's word in the hearts and minds of men and women right across the world. And this is what it is committed to do. This is the work that it's engaged in. This work of sowing. Sowing the good seed. And so we see here, as you think about the commitment of the sower, the work that he does. But his commitment is not only seen in his work, but also in his weeping. Our text speaks of how the sower weepeth. He weepeth. Now weeping here speaks of difficulty. It speaks of hardship. And so the thought is, the sower is continuing to sow, continuing to work and toil in the face of great adversity, in the face of many problems. He's continuing to sow. Even though there's many obstacles, even though it is difficult, even though there's problems that he meets with, he's continuing to sow. As the cold, frosty air blows upon his face, on he goes, sowing. Over hard and heavy ground, on he goes, scattering the precious seed. As the pestilent birds swoop down and steal the good seed, he continues to sow, scattering the seed near and far. And even as his body becomes weary and tired from this strenuous toil, he labors on. And this is all contained in this word weeping. He weepeth. He's continuing to toil, even in harsh and difficult conditions. What a picture we have here of the nature of sowing gospel seed in this world. It is a work that involves many difficulties and great hardships. There is a difficulty of unreceptive soil. This is the nature of sowing the good seed. Very often we sow it in unreceptive soil. The sinful hearts of men and women are hard, and they stand in opposition, and they're indifferent and apathetic and careless and heedless. And yet we must continue to sow. It is the difficulty of an unholy climate. In this world is that which is not conducive to sowing the good seed of truth. We live in a climate that is unholy. The frosty wind of this world blows against the gospel sower, making it difficult. There is the difficulty of the old fowl of the air. We read about him in Mark 4. The fowl of the air, Satan. And he swoops down as the seed is sown in the heart. Very often he steals it away. There is the difficulty of weariness in the work. And of course, that is a real difficulty. We become weary. Weary in our praying. Weary in our witnessing. Weary even in an attendance to God's house and the gospel evening service. And we become weary, we become discouraged. This is why we need to pray continually for God's help and the great task of sowing the gospel seed. This is why we need to continually look to the Lord, that he will give grace and help, because there is difficulty, there is struggle as we continue to sow the precious seed. This is why I am here tonight on behalf of Let the Bible Speak to ask you to pray for this ministry as it continues to sow the good seed of truth across the nations of this world. It needs the Lord's help. Let the Bible Speak are reaching many souls with the gospel seed. But we need God by his Spirit in the midst of many difficulties to cause that seed to germinate and bring forth fruit unto salvation. This is what we need. Oh, it's right and proper that we endeavor. It's right and proper that we're in the work and we try as best we can to reach more and more people with the gospel. But we need the Lord to come and work and bless the seed as it is sown and overcome all of the difficulties and obstacles, and the Lord himself to give the increase that he himself might have the glory. And so we see here the commitment of the sower. But then there's another thing I want us to note here in this verse, and that is the character of the seed. You're told here the seed which the sower sows is precious seed. Precious seed. That which is precious is of great value and worth. This is the nature of something which is precious. It is of value and worth. And no doubt there are things that you could think of that you would consider to be precious. Maybe your children, your grandchildren. And you could say of them, oh, they are just so precious to me. They're so valuable to me. They're so dear. You could think of the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ's precious blood. And it is precious blood because of its value. That's why it's precious, because of its value. Such is the value of the Savior's blood. It is that which redeems us from our natural state of sin and misery. It delivers us from hell itself, and it has purchased for us eternal life. Oh, how valuable and precious is Christ's blood to his people. It's precious blood. because of how valuable it is, deals with our sin. Upon the basis of this blood that was shed, we are forgiven and we are accepted before God. Oh, how valuable and precious is the blood of our Redeemer. However, in our text, we're told that the sower sows precious seed. This is clearly speaking of the Word of God. When the preacher preaches or when the believer shares the gospel with others, they're sowing precious seed. Indeed, we can say the gospel seed is the most valuable and precious seed that has ever been cast abroad. This is something which ought to encourage us as we keep at the task of sowing. We're not working with impotent and ineffective seed, that which is weak and incapable, that which is lifeless. But instead we're working with that which is inherently powerful and fruitful, that which has good life in it. And this is what we're doing as we sow the good seed, the precious seed. God's word is precious seed. And how important it is that we remember that in these days of difficulty, in these days of indifference, when it seems as if few are getting saved and many are just disinterested in regard to their soul or the things of God, this precious seed to sow here. And it's got power. And it's got life. As we think of the precious seed of God's truth, that which really testifies of its value is the nature of the fruit that it produces. And that's what testifies of the preciousness of this seed, the preciousness of God's word, the fruit that it produces. Remember the law of the harvest? You reap whatever you sow. Therefore, if we sow precious seed, what will we get? Precious fruit. Precious fruit. From gospel seed, there springs forth the most valuable fruit. The precious seed of God's truth produces the fruit of light, we can say. Psalm 119 and verse 105 declares, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It is only by the light of God's truth that men and women will be lifted out of the darkness and ignorance of their sin. And this is why we need to keep sowing the precious seed. Because of the terrible darkness in which man is found. Man and sin is found. And people out there are living in utter darkness. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And they're in darkness. And they will continue to live in that darkness. And they will die in that darkness. And they will go to outer darkness. Unless the glorious light of God's truth illuminates their hearts. As Let the Bible Speak has sown the precious seed in places like Nepal. People that were held in great darkness. In the darkness of false religion. And brought into the glorious light of the gospel. Brought into the light of the truth. That which brought them into the light was the word of God. It was the precious seed. This too is the answer to the terrible darkness that covers our society. In our land we could think of the false religion that pervades in our society. Atheism, materialism. Just the natural darkness of men's hearts. It's only as the precious seed is sown in those hearts that the fruit of light will appear. And so this precious seed of truth produces the fruit of light. We can also say it produces the fruit of life. Of life. This truth is brought before us in the most wonderful way in Ezekiel 37. Just turn over with me for a moment to Ezekiel 37. And notice a few verses here in this wonderful portion of God's word. Ezekiel 37. Verse 1. I know this too is a familiar portion of Scripture, but it's good to remind ourselves of the truth here. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So here you have Ezekiel, and he's commanded by God to prophesy unto these bones, to preach unto these bones. That's what he was asked to do. And this is what he does do. Notice then what it says in verse 10. So I prophesied, or I preached, as he commanded me. He was sowing the precious seed. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now see what happens as Ezekiel preaches here. These dry bones, this dead situation, became a place of life. Place of life. Now, of course, to natural man, this seems utter foolish. Utterly foolish. A completely foolish thing. To preach to dead bones. To preach to a valley full of dead bones. Utterly foolish. But you see, when we realize just how precious the seed is, how powerful the message is, there's life in it. It's not foolishness. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. Remember even what Hebrews 4 and 12 says? For the word of God is quick, meaning it's got life in it. It's quick. It quickens. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the precious seed. It not only produces the fruit of light, it produces the fruit of life. Pray that as the seed of truth is sown over the airwaves, that as it falls into the hearts of men and women, it will bring life. It will even be like this vision that Ezekiel had here in Ezekiel 37, that many who are dead be raised up to new life in Jesus Christ. That God by His Spirit will breathe upon His own word and cause it to bear the fruit of salvation unto eternal life. And so the precious seed of truth produces the fruit of light, the fruit of life. We can also say it produces the fruit of liberty. God's truth is that which delivers and frees from the bondage and slavery of sin. And that's what God's word does. It delivers, it frees from the terrible bondage and slavery of sin. One of the greatest demonstrations of this was the reaction of the people to Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. We often think of the marvelous and miraculous happenings on the day of Pentecost as being the result of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the church. And of course that is true. That is most definitely true. The church was transformed as the Spirit of God came down upon the believers that were there. Yet we should never forget the 3,000 souls that were converted on the day of Pentecost were converted after Peter preached. After the precious seed was sown in their hearts. This is what it says in Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, and what was it they heard? Peter's preaching. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? These people were liberated from Christless, self-righteous religion. How? Through the hearing of the truth. Through the good seed being sown in their hearts. And as you read through the book of Acts, you read of how these same people who were actually involved in the crucifixion of the Savior, these same people lived holy now and godly lives. And many of them sacrificed much for the cause and testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel, the precious seed of God's word, liberates men from the bondage of their sin and brings them into the path of righteousness. And the glorious truth is this. There is no other knowledge in this world that has the power to do this. Only the gospel. In our world, there are many people held as slaves of Satan and in the bondage of their sin. And we look upon them as miserable souls, sad souls. Our heart goes out to them. But there's only one thing that can liberate them from this utter misery and sadness in which they live and exist. And that's the good seed. It liberates. It liberates. And this is why the gospel is such precious seed. And why Let the Bible Speak are seeking to reach many more with this good seed. This is why they're continuing to look to new areas to broadcast and new people to reach. So that the fruit of light and of life and of liberty might grow even in dark and in dead, and in hearts that are in bondage. This is the character of the seed. We've seen also the commitment of the sower. One last thing, quickly notice with me here, and that is the certainty of the sheaves. Our text tells us, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The promise of God's word is, where the gospel seed is sown, then there will be sheaves. There will be a harvest. There will be a time of rejoicing. That's the promise. And this is something which is beyond any doubt. And the reason why the gospel seed will ultimately be successful is not because of the skill or the ability of the sower. It's nothing to do with the wisdom or eloquence of the preacher. But the gospel seed will not fail, because Christ, through his work, has guaranteed it will be successful. Christ has guaranteed it will be successful. Isaiah 53 and 11 declares, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Every single sheep for whom the shepherd has died will be gathered in. All gathered safely in. And therefore, you see, we can sow with absolute certainty and confidence. Christ's kingdom will be built. Christ's work will go forward. And despite the weakness of man, despite our inability, there will be a harvest. It's certain. And therefore, we labor with confidence. We labor looking to Jesus Christ to give the increase. This is why we can continue to preach and sow the good and precious seed with hope and expectation, even in these wicked and unfruitful days, because Christ has guaranteed a harvest. Let me encourage you then to continue to sow the precious seed in your own home, to sow the precious seed even in relation to the local church here, but to continue to help even in the sowing of the seed in regard to let the Bible speak. Pray for this ministry. Pray that God will give a great reaping in these days, turning on to himself. And pray that God will himself will come, give the increase, and have the glory. I trust that we will be all sowers, like the sower here described in this wonderful verse of Scripture, that God will be pleased to give much fruit in our lives and in God's work. Thank you again for listening. And now we're going to watch this DVD or this video presentation. I hope and I trust it will be a blessing to you.
And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to another gospel broadcast where we let the Bible speak. It's good to have you joining us. And we trust that as you hear the Word of God today, that the Lord will bless His truth to your heart. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Let the Bible Speak has been, for over 40 years, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church. By God's grace, it has been used for the promotion of the gospel across the nations of the world. It has resulted in churches being formed in places such as Nepal and North America. As our missionaries in Kenya and Uganda labor in their particular areas, and our FM broadcasts presented by the Reverend Malcolm Patterson reach an even larger number of souls in those lands. We're confident that God has blessed His truth, souls have been saved, believers have been encouraged as the Word of God has been preached. We're most grateful for the fact that you continue to host deputation meetings. It's our prayer that God will use these meetings to enable you to pray more effectively for the work as we continue to preach Christ and Him crucified. Five stations here in Northern Ireland on the Q Radio network broadcast our Let the Bible Speak programs just after the 9 o'clock news bulletin each Lord's Day morning. Many of our ministers help out with the preaching of God's Word on these programs, and they're reaching souls away beyond the confines of their own church services on the Lord's Day.
Broadcasting five times a week from Tuesday to Saturday at 1 a.m. The Let the Bible Speak ministry here in London has formed an integral part of the local church's ministry. Sometimes the question is asked whether the time slot is the most suitable, but it seems that the Lord has put his hand upon this slot, especially as it tends to appeal to most Londoners who live in a city that never sleeps. Due to the introduction of digital radio, the Word of God through these short 13-minute broadcasts have also been reaching into homes throughout the United Kingdom. The Let the Bible Speak ministry for us as a local church here in Walthamstow, East London, is indispensable. Ever conscious of a large population and the cultural diversity that exists in the capital, there's no physical way that I or the folks here in the church are able to knock every single door and evangelize individuals. There is a tendency also of many, understandably so, to feel unsure of opening their front doors, sometimes because of safety reasons, other times because of religious or language barriers and hindrances. These early morning broadcasts gain access into hearts and minds that would otherwise be impossible. Each month I find myself speaking to people who have rang me after they have listened to the Let the Bible Speak ministry. There was one particular conversation I had a while ago with a woman who lives in Wembley, which is effectively the opposite side of London, and she rang assuming she was a Christian, but as the conversation went by, I began to get concerned about whether she truly was. And so as I changed the conversation, asked her several questions, she began to realise that she had never truly been saved. I had the privilege of praying with her. I didn't know if she came to faith at that moment, but certainly the Lord began a work. So our church has benefited. A number of people who even attend our church have come directly from hearing Let the Bible Speak here in London. So there is certainly a great benefit to having the ministry here. The connections which we make and the very presence of Let the Bible Speak is a great help to us as we seek to reach out to the multitudes.
नेपाल स्वतन्त्र प्रेस बुटेरियन मण्डली सगौरव प्रस्तुत गर्दछ बाइबललाई बोल्न देऊ। विगत केही हप्ताहरूदेखि म यहाँहरूकै प्रिय मित्र पावल थापा यहाँहरूको साथ।
I had the privilege of visiting Nepal along with the Reverend Decanio, Mr. George McConnell in April of 2016. It was a tremendous encouragement to me to talk with the Reverend Thapa regarding the continued radio ministry. Reverend Thapa continues to record programs in the Nepalese language, and those programs are now being broadcast covering approximately 75% of the country. Each week, there are over 100 broadcasts being aired on 26 separate stations. 10 of those stations are broadcasting Let the Bible Speak broadcasts each day.
When we preach the Word of God through the radio program, I hope many people will see the salvation of Jesus in their life. Many people, they wrote later, it seems that they are thirsty for the Word of God, and they send me later, sometimes they call me over the phone, and there are many emails as well, and they want this program.
Mention has been made already of Nepal. The Lord has used the Let the Bible Speak broadcast there to plant many of the congregations that now comprise the Free Presbyterian Church of Nepal. In fact, some of the field workers that do follow up with radio listeners were actually saved through listening to the LTBS broadcasts. It's a team effort in Nepal in every sense. While the Reverend Paul Thapa has the burden of preaching and compiling the programs, he's ably assisted by the field workers and his sister, who's responsible for handling much of the correspondence that comes in from listeners, and she sends out gospel literature to those who have made contact with them. God has richly blessed the work in Nepal, and we trust that you will continue to pray that the word of the Lord will have free course in that land and will be used for the conversion of many, many more precious souls.
Proverbs 29:23 says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." You're listening to Free Presbyterian Radio, 92.5 FM, Monrovia. The way it works in Liberia is that you apply for a radio station license through two government agencies, the Ministry of Information and the Liberia Telecommunications Authority. We applied way back in 2014, and we requested an FM frequency. And they got back to us immediately, but they said there were no openings at the time. There were no free frequencies. This past May of 2017, just out of the blue, we received a phone call with permission to test 92.5 FM. Of course, for an FM radio station, you have to have a very tall tower. And we found a 150-foot Rhone tower on the market. Now, this is a $30,000 tower, but this tower we got, 150 foot of it, we got it for $6,500, and that included the cables, the guy wires to hold it up. And so we're now using that transmitter, tower, and antenna on our property, and our first day of official broadcast was April 20th, 2017.
Also on behalf of the Free Presbyterian Church here in Monrovia, to officially open Free Presbyterian Radio 92.5. May God bless every word that is broadcast from this station.
The vision of bringing the Word of God into homes in the UK by means of television continues to burden the hearts of the Let the Bible Speak committee members. Six programs recorded in the Martyrs Memorial Complex have been broadcast on Revelation TV. The station offered to repeat the broadcasts, commending the format and content of the entire series. It was also encouraging to have 20 of our churches represented at those meetings for the recordings. Those recordings were of good technical quality, and work continues on enhancing it even more. More recordings are scheduled using the facilities in our Lurgan Church. The approach taken on those evening recordings at Martyrs provides a helpful template for the way forward. There are, however, still many challenges, not least with regard to equipment, skilled workers, cost, and time. Do pray for wisdom that the committee will know the right way to proceed. Whether through radio or television, it's our desire that Christ crucified be preached and that the Spirit of God will apply the Word of God to the hearts of all who hear. Let the Bible Speak continues preaching Christ over the airwaves near and far on over 30 radio stations. All of this airtime is purchased with the finances available from the sustained and generous giving of so many of our people. That's why I take this opportunity on behalf of Let the Bible Speak to say thank you in the Lord's name. Your partnership in the gospel with Let the Bible Speak tangibly demonstrates a burden to help fulfill the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We thank you for your help in furthering the gospel of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are laborers together with Him.